Hey, welcome along. This is James Watt in Conversation, where we talk to the most interesting people in the world, and we've found a classic today. Okay, love the Four Tops. Duke Fakir is the remaining member of the Four Tops. He's a very elderly man now, in his 90s, but I did manage to get to talk to him. He still goes out and does the odd gig as the group a little bit, but slowing down a little bit, but I think you'll really enjoy the conversation I had with this legend. And if you want to subscribe, please do. Just subscribe away. You want to contact us at JamesWattUK, or do it through the whatever system you're listening on to this podcast. It'd be lovely to hear from you. So this is what happened when I phoned and spoke to Duke Fakir from the Four Tops. Hi, Duke.
I'm doing fine. Feeling well, and just getting my rest from a weekend tour, which was a lot of travel, but you know, it's all part of it, and I'm just enjoying being home for about a week or so.
Yeah, you and your mates at the Four Tops. You were at the very beginning of Motown, of course, and the Detroit sound of the 60s. So let's take us back at all those years ago. Let's do our history lesson. How did the Four Tops? How did the Four Tops first of all get together?
Well, we got together at, it was pretty much like a graduation party. The party was given by a club of girls called the Scheherazade. They were very bourgeois type girls at our high school and in our neighborhood. And this party was by invitation only. And Levi and I, we used to sing around school and at all the sporting events on riding the buses. I was the athlete, and Levi just kind of came along with me. And we had people singing all on the bus. So this particular young lady, she invited Levi and I to sing at her graduation party with the rest of the girls. Well, there were so many girls there, we thought we should invite two of our good friends that we knew could sing pretty well and that knew how to talk to the young ladies, you know. So that's where we went to the party, of course, doing what young men at that age do. You were thinking about the ladies. Singing was just a byproduct of their party. It was a second thought, so to speak. So we went to the party, of course, and the four of us, we danced and met young ladies and talked and had our fun. And then in the middle of the party, the young lady asked Levi and Duke to sing, and we let her know that we have a full foursome, a group. And so we told Levi, just say, Levi, you just sing a song. We'll back you up some kind of way. Because, you know, singing was just a second thought. We knew Levi would sound good singing because he was quite a lead singer anyway. And so he picked the song, and fortunately enough, it was one we were familiar with, and we just started putting background riffs to it in perfect harmony and in a great blend. And Levi looked back and smiled and just really kept singing. And we looked at each other, and we realized that was a very special blend, and that it was good, and we knew we had something. So we decided to form this particular group the next day. Of course, after the party, we went back to our young ladies and do what young guys do. We had fun at the party. What dancing and still singing was the second thought. But we did realize that we had something special, and we started rehearsing the next day, and we actually formed a group that next day.
And did you
call ourselves the
And it was
call ourselves the Four Aims.
The Four Aims, and when did yes. When did the Four Aims get discovered and become the Four Tops?
We started in 1954 in spring, and we became the Four Tops in 1956 at our first real recording session, which was Chess Records. There was a group in the business called the Four Ames Brothers at that time, very popular white group, and the owners of Chess Records mentioned to us just as we were about to record that we needed to change our names, and of course we didn't want to. We said, well, look, people will know the difference, but they said, no, you can't have the same name. out on the street like that. So we start thinking, well, you know, we didn't want to be a bird name. We didn't want to be anything that, we didn't want to be an animal or a bird or anything. We wanted our name to signify what we were doing and what we were trying to do. So we just kept thinking. Then our music director, Mr. Maurice King, asked the question, well, how did you come up with the four aims? I said, because we were shooting for the tops. We were aiming for the stars. We were, you know, we were aiming for to be, you know, big in the show business if we could, because we knew we were good. He said, well, what about the four tops? Everybody looked and bucked their eyes, said, wow, that sounds great. And that's what it was. And it's been that way since. And we love that name, yes.
And what was the vibe like in Detroit in the 60s? Because, you know, you were at the center of the music world.
Well, you know, in Detroit at that time, there were many, many singers and singing groups. Music was just flowing from everywhere. There were still a lot of groups and singers that didn't get to Motown that could have been just as big a star as a lot of the groups that were. I mean, Detroit, because of its gospel heritage, it's drawn a lot of singers. Everywhere you went, people were singing. Groups were everywhere. They were in the schools. They were in malt shops. They were in the candy shops. They were on the school grounds. Everywhere you went, people were singing. And we were just fortunate enough to, you know, be the ones that, I guess, we were in the right places at the right times, you know.
Was there ever a plan, instead of being a international pop star, to do a proper job?
Well, before we had our first professional engagement, I had a scholarship to college. Levi said he always just wanted to sing. Rinaldo Obie Benson, he had other plans, and of course Lawrence, he come from a musical singing family. He always really wanted to sing. But I turned down my scholarship once we hit the stage professionally and realized then that we were even better than we thought we were. You know, the people gave us a standing ovation and all that kind of good stuff. And that's when we made that commitment. I said, look, man, I got a scholarship to college. And, you know, I'm not going to September. And in fact, I said, I'm not going at all now. This is what I want to do. Everybody agreed. This is what I want to do. Let's do this. So that day, that night, we made a commitment to stick together and just stick it out until we get what we're looking for in the business. And that's just to get respect and to be able to entertain all over the country.
Talking of sticking together, 44 years until unfortunately Lawrence passed away. But you must be unique in a group that's stayed together with the original lineup well forever. So you must have got on very well.
We did. I mean, and the common denominator was music. We loved music. We loved to sing. We respected each other's talent, and we enjoyed being with each other. We enjoyed playing golf together. We played cards together. You know, we did all the things that you know, young guys that hang out or do what we, you know, we enjoyed it. After we got married, we raised our families together. We bought our homes within walking distance of each other. So we were really like brothers. I mean, we were as close or maybe closer than some brothers because we spent all our young time together. You know, when we weren't working or looking for work, we would be sitting up learning songs, rehearsing, trying to finesse our harmonies even better, you know. And, of course, Levi loved it. Levi was a kind of lead singer that enjoyed harmonies. He enjoyed singing with us, you know. Because there was many times that he was asked to, you know, go on his own, and he was tempted by the big dollars and all kind of things. But he never went that route. He just always enjoyed, and that was one way to stick together. Because he never had an ego. He just enjoyed what he was doing, as we did it together. And that was truly a blessing. So we all had that same feeling, and which was rare, you know, at that time, you know, because at that time, as you had hit records, the lead singer usually would go off on his own or be asked to go off on his own or be attempted with better record deals and all that kind of stuff. And they would go that route. Levi refused all of that many times.
What did it feel like to get that first big hit record?
Oh, that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. When I first heard Baby, I Need Your Lovin' on the radio, I was so excited, because that was back then. That was a great production, and it just blew our minds. Hard to explain, but I guess we felt like that was as happy as you can get. That very first one, especially when you hear it the first time, it's hard to believe that. Wow, that's us. That's us. I heard when I was riding in a car with my friend, because I didn't have a car then. And I said, man, I got to go. I got to call Levi. I stopped the payphone and called Levi. And he said, man, I told him, he said, I just heard it on the radio, too. He said, Duke, it sounds really good. He said, come on, we got to get together and do some rehearsing, man, because we're getting ready to travel. Yep. So we all called each other and got together. Rinaldo Benson was down in Atlantic City with his wife, who was a dancer. On one of those production shows, and he was just down there chilling, and he had heard it out of Philadelphia, because Philadelphia is one of the big cities right near Atlantic City. And when we called him, he was as excited as we were. He said, man, I'm coming home, man. We got work to do. I said, you damn right, let's go. So it was just totally off the wall excitement.
Have you done some, you've done lots of gigs, and you're gigging, of course, here in the summer. But have there been some gigs you've done that you thought, looked out and thought, wow, how did we arrive here?
We've had quite a few of those, you know. I remember we did a show in outside of Philadelphia with Art Linkletter. It was over 100,000 people. One July the 4th in Washington, D.C. on the Mall, it was like 250,000 people. Those things, you know, as a young man, just blows your mind. You say, oh, wow. And, you know, it almost brings you to tears when you can perform before those many people, you know, especially when you think about where you come from and how you've just dreamed and hoped and wished that you could make just a little bit of a star. And to perform before those many people, you know, and just hear that roar, that mighty, mighty roar, which is deafening. It's just absolutely, it's unspeakable. Sometimes it's hard to explain the feeling. You get goosebumps, you get all kind of stuff, anxiety, you know. You're not afraid, but you just get so anxious to go ahead and perform and to see how they accept it. So it's been amazing. You know, I remember even doing Rite Aid. That was another great big audience. So we've had a few of those, you know, and we've done a couple of festivals where you have that kind of audience, and it's absolutely incredible.
You're the last surviving member, which seems terrible. You know, the other guys have gone. So what's it like doing the show without your original brothers? You got a new set of brothers, but is it different?
Yeah. Well, of course, it's different, but it's good. There's no doubt. I miss my original brothers. There's no doubt about that. But these young guys, which is like nephews to me, some almost like a son. You know, they're good. Lawrence Payton Senior, who original member of the Top, his son is there, Lawrence Payton Junior. So that makes it, you know, very close, and it's still like family. Ronnie McNair, who is as close to Obie Benson as like his little brother, which we knew Ronnie McNair many, many years before he came into the group. So he's just like family. There's the new member that really is a very soulful young man, and he's always loved Levi, and, you know, and well, it's good. Because if it wasn't good like that or close, I don't think I could still carry on. I'm not the one that could put an ad in the paper and say, I needed a tenor, I needed this. And just out of the clear blue sky, they come and all these different faces. It would be hard for me to do that. But these are close guys, very close to family, which makes it very easy. And they're good.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. Well, you've got that Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award now, of course, and it's been a while since you got that. But where do you keep your Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in your house?
There's in my family room, right above the TV. There's a nice little slot where I keep the Grammy and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Awards and a couple other great awards. It's a slot for that. And when I'm sitting there watching TV, I can always look up there and see those awards. And, it makes you feel like, hey, I've done something. It's been good. I'm leaving something behind, which is nice, which is music. So, you just feel good about yourself.
And thanks to the music, because I've been playing it on the radio for 30-odd years.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, It's always great to hear ourselves on the radio, and we always thank the players for playing our music, and which is wonderful. They still play it, and people still enjoy it, so we're very fortunate, and I'm very humbly thankful for all the wonderful folks that have just held on to our music all these long years. I mean, it's been a long time. When you think about it, it's been over 50 years, it's hard for songs to last that long,
Well, and you've done it.
You love that song.
You have done it. Well, it's absolutely great to talk to you. I'll let you go and have your breakfast because I know it's very early in the morning there. What does a Four Top have for breakfast?
Well, I've had my coffee because that helped wake me up. I will just have a boiled egg and maybe a slice of bacon. That's about it.
Okay.
And it's just a little fruit. I don't eat too much in the morning. Try to keep my weight down so I can get in my uniforms. I don't want to have to keep buying uniforms.
Hey, Duke, good to talk to you.
It's been enjoyable talking to you.
There we go, the great Duke Fakir, Four Tops, bit of a music legend here at James Watt in Conversation, where we talk to the greatest and most interesting people in the world. If you do know one we haven't spoken to, do get in touch and we'll try and get them on the show. That'll be lovely. Subscribe away to here. That'll be lovely. Give us a like. All that sort of stuff always helps. It just makes us know you're there, really. And if you want to contact us at JamesWattUK, Twitter, X, Instagram, hello@jameswattuk.com will work as well. And do subscribe, and I'll catch you for the next one.